Good morning. It's good to see all of you here this morning. We welcome you, and we're glad you made it out to worship our Lord this morning. We have several announcements this morning. Just to go over a few announcements that I'll go over. Make sure you look at the activities for this week. This week in Bible study, we're looking at Revelation 13, so hope that you can make that out on Thursday at 6 o'clock. At this time, I'm going to turn it over to Earl. Earl has an announcement this morning. Cindy has an announcement this morning.
Yet another good hot pie supper last evening, and I would like to thank all those that helped in the kitchen, the youth and the youth parents, and everybody that bought or sold tickets. We thank you. We did make a profit so far of $1,200, which we're going to split between the youth treasury and the general fund here at church. And the reason I say so far is we do have leftover pot pie, and we will be bringing it up. It's in quart pans, and we're asking $5 for a quart. And we also have some cake and applesauce and some icing left over if anybody wants to take that along. We'll ask for a donation, and that's what we'll do at the church. And so I'm thanking everyone. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Cindy, and thank you for all of you who helped yesterday. Andy Heisey has an announcement this morning.
Good morning. I just wanted to clarify something that Glenn was talking about last week. With the mortgage debt reduction, what we're trying to do is, with the donations that we have, by the end of the year, we're trying to get as much together to put on the mortgage before we refinance. So he was talking about having it paid off in a certain amount of time. The first part of that would be to have the donations from the congregation either put in the plates or given to me, marked as the mortgage debt reduction, so we know what everything is. And then at the end of the year, we're going to take all the money that we have together for that, put it on the mortgage, and refinance the mortgage to bring our payments down. And then after that, we would go into what he was saying about trying to get it paid off in a certain amount of time. So the first part of that would just be having a drive for the money till the end of the year, and at the end of the year we'll take that and put it on the mortgage and pay it down as far as possible. So if anybody would like to do that, please mark any payments to the mortgage debt reduction and just put it in the plate or hand it off to me and we'll get it taken care of. Thank you.
Thank you, Andy. Any other announcements? Let's all stand this morning and sing our opening hymn, number 54, The Solid Rock, number 54. Would you stand, please? Thank you for the many blessings you've given us, Lord God. We thank you for this opportunity to worship you this morning. And on this Veterans Day, Lord, we want to remember all those, Lord, who served our country in a time of need. We thank you, Lord, for their sacrifice that they have given for our nation. We pray now, Lord, that you would bless this time of worship. We pray that everything that we say and do, Lord, would be for your honor and glory, Lord. We pray, Lord, for anyone this morning, Lord, who has not made that decision to make Jesus Christ their Lord and Savior, that they would do that today, Lord, because we live in very trying times, Lord. We know, Lord, that your day is coming soon. We thank you, Lord, for the many blessings you've given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Join me in the call to worship, which is printed in your bulletin this morning. I've got it out of order this morning. It's a call to worship is taken from Hebrews 4, 14 to 16, where I'll be preaching this morning from Hebrews. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was at all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You may be seated. This time, the cherub choir this morning will provide our music this morning. Cherub Choir for singing this morning, and thank you for all that they did this morning. Join me in the offertory thought and prayer as we prepare to give our offerings to the Lord from Psalm 29, verses 1 to 2. Let's read this together. Give unto the Lord, O you mighty ones. Give unto the Lord the glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Let us pray. Lord, this morning we come to you, and part of worship is giving our offerings to you. We pray, Lord, that this time of offerings, Lord, would be pleasing to you. It would build your kingdom here. We also pray for the expense, the ministry expense here at this church, Lord, the Help us know, Lord, that you are the one who can provide for all of our needs faithfully. Be with each member, Lord, as we faithfully consider our contribution to the church, Lord, that will be for your honor and glory. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. At this time, the children can be dismissed for children's church, and the ushers can come forward, and let's all turn to our offertory hymn, number 296, Count Your Blessings. Sharing prayer concerns. And to begin, I mentioned in the prayer that this is Veterans Day. I just want to take a time to if we could have all the veterans who served at any time to please stand and we'll recognize you. Thank you very much for your service. You may be seated. Thank you again. This morning, Grace Ziegler gave me a special poem for a poem of thanksgiving for the church and her journey. And I'd just like to read this to the church. This is from Grace Ziegler. She wrote it. It's called God's Prayer Partners, Myerstown Church. It seems to be a long journey with pain, but when I stop to think, many are going down the same lane. Many have shown me so much love, knowing the love is coming from above. It's great when phone calls come through, the words they speak are healing for you. It's great to know God's people care with prayer, visits, and cards they share. God has always been my friend and will continue to be. I thank Pastor Marty for always being there to pray and coming to anoint me. My children have been more precious than gold, who have reached out to their mother who is ill and getting old. I thank you to Harvey and Betty Berger for being good friends who have taken over my delivery job and in whom you can always depend. We as a church must always reach out in love. Remember, our Heavenly Father is looking down from above. We must always trust and obey, for God will lead the way. I want to give a special thank you to all who have reached out to me. I still need your prayers. With love, Grace Ziegler. We will continue to keep Grace in prayer. In your bulletins, you have an insert this morning with the names of people that we need to remember in prayer. I want to add one name this morning to the list. Tony Knowles' friend, Larry Bindich. Larry Bindich, B-I-N-D-I-C-H. Friend of the Knowles. He is having surgery to have cancer removed from his eye. So keep him in prayer. Update on Catherine Hartranft. She continues to be in Manor Care. Visited her this past week. They're hopeful she'll be going home soon. She will be coming, being with her family for Thanksgiving, so that was a joy. So continue to keep Catherine in prayer. This week we're praying for the Spring Creek Church of the Brethren. So we need to remember the Spring Creek Church in prayer, and the Swatara Hill Church is praying for us. Let's all come to our God this morning in prayer. Let's pray. God, we come to you as our only God, our only Savior. We thank you, Lord, that you have sent us a Savior whose name is Jesus Christ. And this morning, Lord God, we just want to thank you for who Jesus is, for what he has done in our lives, for what he has done on the cross, for the love that he has shown while he is here ministering on earth, and the way that he provides us to God for salvation. Help us, Lord, to always be appreciative of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God, this morning we want to thank you for Grace, for who she is, for the service that she does to the church, for the kindness that she shows, Lord God. For the friends and for the family who have reached out to her, Lord, we thank you. And we pray that would be for everyone here. Lord, help us to truly be a church, because The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians, Lord, that when one suffers in the church, we all suffer together. When one rejoices, we rejoice together. Lord, that's what it means to be the body of Christ. We pray that we, as your church, would be that body of Christ. We thank you, Lord, for the meetings that we had yesterday at Paul Meyer Church of the Brethren, Ephrata Church of the Brethren, for the vision that we have as a church, Lord. These meetings to have the compelling vision. We pray that we as a denomination would really look to you for our vision, to be faithful to your calling as a church, to be faithful to the great commission that Jesus gave to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit. Lord, help us to see that mission, to have that mission in our hearts and minds as a church and as a denomination. Lord, this morning we want to lift up the many on the prayer concerns list this morning, Lord, for ones who are going through difficult times. We pray for Larry Vindich, Lord, who's having surgery. We pray, O God, for your healing presence. We pray, Lord, that you would direct the procedure of the one who's doing the surgery. We pray for your healing and strength to be with him. We continue to pray for Catherine, who is in manor care recovering from surgery. Be with her and the family as they go through this recovery time. We pray for a nation after the election that we had, Lord God, that you especially be with us now. Be with those, Lord, who have been called in office, that they would see their mission, Lord, that you would give them, Lord, your mission. Lord, that they would serve you, Lord, in a godly way, and that we as our people, Lord, would pray for our leaders, even those, Lord, that we don't agree with, Lord. We pray that we would be in support of the office that they hold as they serve. But most of all, we pray that we as your church would be that light and that influence and that witness that we need to have in our nation at this time. Lord, we pray that you would guide me this morning as I provide the message in the scripture reading this morning, Lord, that you would guide the words that I speak, Lord, that be for your glory. We thank you and we praise you for this time of worship. We pray that you continue to worship with us as we worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In your bulletins this morning, you can see an insert sheet that you can pull out if you wish as we go through our scripture reading and text this morning. This morning, we're looking at the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 9, 11 to 14. If you're not sure how to find that, you just pretty much go back to the end of the Bible and just go back a few books and you'll get to Hebrews. We're looking at Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 through 14. The title of the section in my Bible is called The Heavenly Sanctuary. But the question I want us to think about as I read this text this morning is, why did Jesus come? You know, a lot of times we assume that we know, but many times there might be something in Scripture that we might not know. And sometimes we just need to be reminded and refreshed of what that meant for Jesus to come. Hebrews 9, verses 11 through 14. Actually, I'll be reading through 15. Hebrews 9, 11 through 15. Hear the word of the Lord. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with a greater and more perfect tabernacle not made with hands, that is, not of this creation. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. May God add a blessing in the reading of his holy word. Let us pray. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you. That everything that I say, Lord, would uplift the name of Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. In 1977, there was a movie that came out entitled, Oh God. I remember watching that movie. I was a teenager at the time. It was kind of a light-hearted movie. It was a movie about a common man played by John Denver who claimed that he saw God. In the movie, God was portrayed by a kindly old man who was played by George Burns. The message of the movie was that this common man named Jerry Landers was chosen by God to spread the message of God's love to everyone he saw. The problem was his wife didn't believe that he saw God. Not everyone believed that Jerry saw God and was chosen by God to spread his message. And so God had to convince Jerry that he was the one that God would use to spread his message. And there were multiple times in the movie where God appeared to Jerry, like God appeared to Jerry in the supermarket where he worked. He appeared to Jerry in a taxi cab and places in everyday life. And there was one point where Jerry said, God, how will people know that I saw you? And he said, just give me my card. And the card had the name God on it. That's all it was. His business card had the name God on it. Now, critics of this movie claim that the movie took God too lightly. Some believe that the movie was sacrilegious. Some believe that you can't make God into a comedy movie. Or other critics would say, well, why would God appear in the supermarket or in a taxi cab of all places? Some believe that you can only find God in the, quote, holy places like the temple or the tabernacle. But is that true? If we believe that, if we believe that we can only find God in the holy places, well, then we need to ask, well, how can anyone enter into the holy place of God? Would anybody be good enough to enter into the holy place? Because we all have a sin nature. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And this has been man's struggle with God from the very beginning, from the time of Genesis. Man has struggled with the question, how can sinful man approach God? If we believe that God is all-powerful and almighty, if we believe that God can perform miracles and rescue people from their sins, then don't we believe it's important for anyone to want to be close to God, to come to the holy place, to be in the holy place. But how do we get close to God, since God is a holy and righteous God and man is a sinner? Well, first let's look at what the Old Testament says about that. In Exodus 20, after God gave the Ten Commandments, it was believed that no one could approach God and live. Exodus 20, verse 19, the Bible says, "Let not God speak with us, lest we die." Later on, in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 25, it says, "If we, the people of God, hear the voice of the Lord our God anymore, then we shall die." So no one could even hear the voice of the Lord and live in the Old Testament times. Even someone as good as Moses hid his face. Moses hid his face for he was afraid to look upon God. Exodus chapter 3, verse 6. So what does that say? It says that we are all helpless and without hope and lost in our sins. And that, brothers and sisters, is why Jesus came. Jesus came because we are all without hope. We're all lost in our sins without him. And remember that sin is the only thing that separates us from God. Sin is what separates us from God. But Jesus paid that penalty for our sins so that we can come to God with boldness and assurance. And my prayer this morning, my hope this morning, is that as you leave here today, you will have a greater joy for what God has done by sending Jesus Christ into your life and into my life and into the world. Because sometimes I believe that we in the church, we either forget the message or we don't emphasize the message enough of the work of Jesus Christ in our lives. Some liberal denominations even want to get rid of any talk of the blood of Jesus Christ, which is a crime. We cannot do that. When we do that, somehow that message of Jesus Christ gets lost. Some people just don't know the work that God did on the cross with Jesus Christ. Even in our everyday lives, we get bogged down with other things to the point that the message of Christ and the cross gets lost. And this morning's scripture text, if you want to turn now to our main text in Hebrews chapter 9, this morning's text explains why Jesus came and how that message came to be true. We don't know exactly who the writer of Hebrews is, but it doesn't matter because it still is the Word of God. But the writer of Hebrews, he uses a unique approach to get us to believe in Christ. He uses history. He uses history to tell the story of Christ. He goes back to the days when people had to give blood sacrifices in the temple to see what that was like. If you look at verse 13, he says in Hebrews 9, "For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" You know, sometimes it's good to look at history in order to see where we came from in Christ. And the writer explains this. He explains how we all need Jesus Christ in our lives. And the writer this morning of Hebrews is speaking to a group of people who are called Jewish Christians. That's, I believe, is in your insert this morning. The writer of Hebrews is speaking to a group of people who were called Jewish Christians. These were new Christians who were converted to Christ but they came from a Jewish upbringing and a Jewish heritage. But there is a problem with these new Christians. These new Jewish Christians were turning away from the Christian faith. Why? Because they were suffering. They were being persecuted. They were being persecuted as new Christians. And as they were persecuted, they were drifting back to their old ways and beliefs of the Jewish faith and neglected the message of Christ. So the writer told these people this. If you look at Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, Hebrews 2, verse 1, it says, "We must give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest we drift away." In other words, he told them, remember where you came from. And every once in a while in our lives, we need to look back at our spiritual life, you know. Look back at your heritage, who raised you in Christ. Remember those people who raised you, whether it was your parents or your Sunday school teachers or whoever. Remember where you came from. Remember what you received. Remember how you were before you accepted Christ in your life. Remember the gospel message which you heard. So here's a question to think about. Can you relate to the Jewish Christians who are being persecuted? Can you relate to the new Christians? If you are experiencing persecution for your belief in Christ, would you forsake your faith and belief? Would you do that? Would you find some other way? Would you have where you would not have to suffer because of your faith in Christ? It's a tough question for anyone to answer. Because when we suffer, many times we look for answers. We look for solutions, and sometimes these answers are outside of Christ. Now, here in our nation, Christians in our nation, we may not have persecution like other Christians in other countries, but we still experience trials and tribulations. We all experience trials and tribulations, which can cause us to neglect our faith in Christ. We have distractions. We have things in our lives that cause us to be self-centered. Because it's only natural. When we suffer, we tend to look inwardly. When we hurt, we look inward. And many times, we lose our vision of Jesus Christ and the importance of the cross when that happens. But I want you to think about where you'd be today if it were not for the cross of Christ. Where would all of us be? We would all be condemned. We'd all be judged by God. Look at Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. He asks a really good statement here. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? That means salvation of Christ, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him. He says, how do you think you're going to escape the great judgment of God if we neglect Christ? He says, you can't escape judgment. You can't escape judgment because all of us are going to be judged by God one day. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 mentions that. And when it comes to how we're going to spend our time in eternity, there is no greater question. There is no greater question. There is no greater concern. There is no greater work of God. That should be the most important question that all of us should have today. The question of our salvation in Christ and whether that is assured in Christ or not for you. And when it comes to the work of the church, when it comes to the work that we do in the church, that should be the most important work of the church today. Everything that we do in the church should focus on the gospel message of Christ. We need to do our best to make this place a place where all people can find God and receive Jesus Christ. But I believe as the church dwindles, and it's not just this congregation or this denomination, it's many, when that happens, our vision of Christ dwindles. Because as a church receives the gospel message of Jesus Christ, we should have that message fresh. Everyone needs to hear that today. Why? Because the message of Christ is a life-saving message. If you look at Ephesians chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 to 23, the Bible tells us there that Jesus Christ is the head of the church. It says that, and he, that is God, put all things under his feet and gave him, that is Christ, to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Let's go back now and look at Hebrews again, Hebrews 9. The writer there has a rather unique phrase where he says, Jesus Christ is our high priest. He is our high priest. That is the main point of our scripture text today. Why does the writer say that Jesus is our high priest? Well, people are always looking for someone who speaks for God. People are always looking to someone as a way to come to God, yesterday and today. My mother died in the year 2005, and she died of natural causes, where her mind and body just deteriorated. And I remember she reached a point where she knew she didn't have much time left. And one day, a deacon of our home church was visiting her in the nursing home. And a deacon was also a friend of the family. And my mother really reached out to him. You know, she reached out to him and said, would you pray for me? And he said a prayer. It wasn't anything special. He just prayed for her. And then he told me this after he prayed with her. He said to me, you know what? After I prayed for your mother, her mind just cleared up. She became like renewed. Her mind was just miraculously cleared up. And the deacon said, it was not me that did that. It was the Lord. You see, my mother was at a point where she needed someone she knew who believed helped her on her way to God. That's really what the role of the priest was back in Hebrews. The priest was the one who helped people see God. He was the one who could lead people to God, the one who was there. And the reason why the writer of Hebrews says Jesus is our high priest is because the majority of the people he was speaking to came from a Jewish background. And they knew what a priest was. He was the main man. He was the main man who could come into the Holy of Holies in the temple and make sacrifices for the people in order to cover their sins. He was the bridge builder between God and the people. He was the go-between. And it was interesting to see that the Jews would put people up on a pedestal. You know, Moses and the prophets and the angels, they're all up here close to God. You know, Moses was a man who God spoke to face to face as a man speaks with his friend, the Bible says. And he was the direct recipient of the Ten Commandments, the law of God. And so they put Moses up there, close to God. But here the writer says, no, Jesus is higher than Moses. He's higher than the angels. He's higher than the prophets. And I'm sure that just shattered their world, shattered their religion, shattered the way they saw God. But it was true. It was true. There is only one who can bring us into the holy place of God, and that is Jesus Christ. The second point, Jesus Christ provides a better way for us and the church. Jesus Christ provides a better way for us and the church. Remember that we as believers make up the church, and Jesus Christ gave us the church because he knew a better way for the people to come to God. Look at Hebrews 9:11. But Christ came as a high priest of the good things to come, with a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation. How did this happen? How did this happen with Christ? When Jesus Christ died on the cross, the Bible says the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. I want us to think about that for a moment. Think that what that must have been like. Right after Jesus died, right after he was crucified, when darkness filled the land and there was an earthquake, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. That's very important to know, because that meant that God came from heaven down to earth. God was able to reach now to man, heaven to earth. That meant that when the veil was torn, that people could now come to God with Jesus dying on the cross. And I got to think about that veil of the temple that was torn. No one is able to do that. No one is able to tear that other than God himself. That was a miracle that only God could do. Because think about it. Who was at the temple at the time to tear the veil? There was no one there. It happened by the power of God through Jesus dying on the cross for us. And for some people today, that veil is not torn for them. For some people, the veil is still there. The veil is there in people's hearts. Some people's hearts are not right with God. That veil is there, separating it. We have people today who are separated from God. We have people who are stuck in their ways and they don't know a better way. Or maybe for some of you, the veil is still between you and God, is still up. Maybe you feel separated from God. Maybe it's something in your life. Maybe it's something in your past that you can't forget and get rid of. And that veil is still there. And only God can tear that veil so that you can be with God. For some of you, the veil might be discouragement. You just can't seem to find God in your life right now. God seems to be distant. Well, the Bible says you need to come to Jesus because he knows a better way. Look at Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10:22-25. He says there, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who is promised is faithful. Verse 24, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. 25 is a main verse. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting, encouraging one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The day meaning the day of Jesus Christ. Now, that tells us that in times of discouragement and defeat, we need to draw near to God with a full heart. That's what he means by full assurance of faith. And when we draw near to God, he will draw near to you and I. And that leads to another point. Jesus Christ provides us a way for believers to come together in a spirit of unity. Jesus Christ provides a way for believers to come together in a spirit of unity. Now, if you look, go back to that passage that I just read, Hebrews 10, the writer is trying to lift people's spirits because there is a problem. The people belonged to a divided church. That's why they said, don't forsake the assembling, don't forsake the coming together. There were some people who were leaving the church behind them. We don't know why. We don't know why they were not coming to the assembly. But I can tell you that it was a spiritual problem. It was a spiritual problem. Many times, people wonder why, certain people don't come. Many times it's a spiritual problem that there's not much anybody can do other than pray for them. For some reason, these people in Hebrews who were forsaking the assembly, they were forsaking Christ in their lives. And notice what happened in the church. What did the writer tell the people to do? The people in the church were called to encourage each other because of that separation in the church. That means that they were called to their side in times of need. Isn't that a wonderful way of telling us what needs to be done in the church? That's what it means when he says to consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Be considerate of other people in the church is what he says. And so I challenge you this morning to do what the writer of Hebrews says. Find a way to encourage someone today in their walk with Christ. Whether it's in your home, whether it's at work, whether it's here, find a way to encourage someone in their walk in Christ. We do this not just to be nice, although that's important. We encourage each other because the Bible says the day is approaching. That's one thing we need to remember. When the writer of Hebrews says, encourage one another in Christ because the day is approaching, he's talking about the day of Jesus Christ. The day of Jesus Christ is coming. And we all want to be spiritually ready. We all want to be spiritually ready as believers in Christ. We want to be in agreement. We want to be united in our cause to stand on the truth of our Lord and Savior, who has assured us that he is not only a better way, but he is the only way to come to God, and that is through Jesus Christ. Be convinced of the truth of Christ today. Let us pray. We thank you, Lord, for that message that you have given us through your word, that it is only through Jesus Christ that we can come to God. We pray, oh God, that we would take this to heart and have a much more a deeper appreciation for what Jesus did for us and for all of us here this morning. We pray, Lord, that we would also be encouragers to one another, that we would encourage people in their walk in the struggles that they have, that we would be that encouraging person, Lord, to help them on their way, that we would be united in our cause and being Christ to one another, and together may we be truthful as people of the church that you want us to be. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand as we sing our closing song. And this morning, if you need prayer for anything, I invite you to come forward as we all stand. Number 580, Jesus Calls Us. leave here today, hear these words of blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.